Good day. Can anyone hear me?
Good day, Mpatiso.
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Honorable Chair. Honorable Chairperson Totovo is currently struggling to log in. He's trying to log in. He will log in. He says he's trying to log in, Chair. Then we'll start the meeting. There he's in now. He's joining the meeting.
Rosie?
Yes, Chair.
I'm in. I shut it out.
Okay, but, Chair.
Let us just quickly check whether do we form a program or not. I see Honorable Karen Fisher, Honorable Ryder, Honorable Chabeling, Dutoy, Sileku, yes. And then who else? Gideon, Zandamela. Yes, we are okay. Eunice Karim. Yes. No, we are okay from that point. I also see members of the cabinet are also here, led by Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. I also see Honorable Dodo. Yeah, substantial number is here. Honorable Kubai. Yes, and I also see some administrators. Okay. I think we need to start with the meeting. Let me start by heartily welcoming everyone to the meeting. This is a meeting of the Ad Hoc Committee on Section 100 of the Constitution in the Northwest Province. And this meeting is meant to interact with the IMTT led by Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. Let me, in that sense, take this opportunity to welcome all members of the cabinet led by Dr.
I don't know whether it's me or the chair. I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
I can hear the chair well. I can hear you, Chair.
Honorable Haida, can you hear me?
Yes, we're hearing you loud and clear, Chairperson.
Honorable Minister, just check what could be the problem. The Minister's locked out. In the meantime, I was saying that this is a meeting of the Ad Hoc Committee on the Intervention in the Northwest Province. For the purpose of this meeting today, we are going to interact with the IMTT, the Interministerial Task Team on the Intervention in the Northwest, to make an assessment in terms of the progress made to date, where we are, what are the issues, what are the milestones, what are the successes of this intervention, and what are the limitations, and what is it that we can do. As all members of Parliament are aware, including members of the Cabinet, we are here because the Constitution enjoins the NCOP to, on continuous basis, review the intervention as it is applied in a particular province in terms of Section 100 of the Constitution. And what we are doing as the Ad Hoc Committee is part of that process to assess and to review the performance of the national government in respect of its intervention in the Northwest Province. This intervention is a bit longer. It started in May, around May in 2018, and it's quite important that the NCOP must abreast itself of the activities of the IMTT, what is happening in terms of that intervention, and how we can improve it in such a way that the province itself is stable and it is able to discharge its constitutional obligation in terms of the constitution and all other applicable law that has set up the province itself. And as I indicated, this is a long process initiated by the committee. And today, as it were, we are engaging with the IMTT, as I indicated, the purpose of this particular meeting. And in that sense, once more, I want to welcome everybody in the meeting, especially Minister Nkosazana Zuma. I saw Minister Dubai. I saw Minister Ayanda Zodo and any other minister or deputy minister who is here. I recognize you, and I appreciate the fact that you have heeded our call and our request to be part of this meeting, to come and engage on the issues. Let me just check the apologies. Who's not present here? I only note the apology of Honorable Nita, who's not here because she's going to see the doctor now on an emergency basis. I don't know whether, Luazi, do we have any other apology for this meeting?
Yes, Chair.
Yes.
Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Yes, no, that's the only apology that I have from Honorable Nita, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Zuki Sanita cannot join us. Let me then, in that sense...
Chairperson, Chairperson, it's Eunice.
Oh, and you are...
You recall I phoned you on Saturday to explain that I have to be a physiotherapist. Unfortunately, I can't change that because of the accident I had. So I've got to be there at 3 o'clock, so I'll be with the meeting till about 5 to 3. And then if we finish within 45 minutes and the meeting still carry on, I'll rejoin you. I'm sorry about that. I explained the circumstances.
Thanks. I hope you feel by that will be done, but this meeting is scheduled from now at 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock. It will depend. But we are still on with the meeting when that time comes.
Thank you very much.
Having said that, without further ado, let me invite the Honorable Minister. She may want to also talk about those who are present, her team, as well as apologies if there are any. And thereafter, the Minister will give the guidance in terms of how we are going to proceed in terms of the presentation that I hope that all members of Parliament have received and familiarized themselves with such a presentation. Over to you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson of the Ad Hoc Committee, Honorable Members of the Ad Hoc Committee, Ministers and Deputy Ministers who are here, administrators, officials of the various departments, members of the media. Honorable Chairperson, let me first just make an apology that where I am, there's a big storm, so I don't know where. I hope I'll be able to be audible and not get disconnected in the middle of my input. Let me say that I'm very grateful for this opportunity to provide an update to the newly constituted Ad Hoc Committee today. This intervention started under the President Cyril Ramaphosa when he invoked Section 101 of the Constitution in the Northwest Province on the 9th of May 2018, following widespread unrest, strikes, protests throughout the province. It's also our privilege to present this report to the Ad Hoc Committee because the NCOP indeed is the closest house to local government. And in the fifth administration, we worked together very well with the then Ad Hoc Committee. So we are pleased that we do have now the Ad Hoc Committee in the sixth administration. The report we are presenting provides an overview of the intervention progress on the recommendations made by the previous Ad Hoc Committee, as well as progress reports from the 11 national departments intervening in terms of Section 101 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. The president constituted the Interministerial Task Team on the Northwest, which has worked diligently to restore calm in the province. The services that were disrupted during the period of unrest have been restored, and there is ongoing work to build the capacity of the province, the provincial government. I also wish to thank all the ministers and deputy ministers who are part of the IMTT. And on behalf of the MTT, we sincerely appreciate the hard work and dedication of the team of administrators and officials who continue to work tirelessly, appreciating the difficulty of their working conditions. We also want to thank members of the provincial executive and senior government leaders and officials in the province for their cooperation. Let me also extend thanks to the members of the South African Defence Force who stepped in to ensure that our people continue to receive services, especially in restoring and repairing water and sanitation right at the beginning of our intervention. As directed by the President and the Interministerial Task Team was tasked in 2018 to conduct an urgent assessment of the state of government in the Northwest Province, advise Cabinet on potential risks facing the province, provide Cabinet with a comprehensive report on the state of government in the province. The report should advise on steps to be taken in respect of the task team's findings and to remain seized with the Northwest matter until the critical issues are resolved. I will call on the provincial administrator and secretariat to present a detailed progress report in line with the IMTT mandate. The report will also give honorable members an account of the successes and achievements, but also challenges. There are also a lot of challenges that still remain in the province, as you will hear from the report. So I would like to ask to call upon Mr. Tim Jonathan, if you agree, Honorable Chair, to present the report on our behalf. Thank you, Chair.
Before Jonathan proceeds, or as he is busy with the presentation, you raise an important point that you interacted with the previous committee. And I forgot that this is for the first time that we are interacting with you, members of the ad hoc committee, and I thought perhaps it is important that I must take this opportunity to just make sure that you know who are the members of the committee, and as you interact with them, you know them. I'm going to request all of them to just indicate their names or their presence to the meeting, please, very quickly. Or let me do it. We have Honorable Sileku from the Western Cape. We have Honorable Gideon also from the Western Cape. We have Honorable Karen Fesser from the Northwest. We have Honorable Dutoy from the Northwest. We have Honorable Karim from KZN. We have Honorable Mukause, who is an alternate from the Northern Cape. We have Honorable Zandamela from Mpumalanga. We have Honorable Nita from the Eastern Cape. We have Honorable Nchabeleng from Limpopo. We have Honorable Mohai Seiso, who is an alternate from the Free State. We have Honorable Kenny Wiman from the Northern League, who's also an alternate. And last, we have Honorable Ryder from Gauteng, who is an alternate as well. Yes, these are the members of the ad hoc committee. And because of the importance that we attach to this process, we have opened these meetings to all members, whether you are full-time or you are an alternate. We work together and we want them to participate fully and make their contribution in terms of making sure that we properly review and assess government and the provincial government, of course, in terms of this intervention. Having said that, over to Mr. Jonathan, Tim, you can then proceed as directed by the minister. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and greetings to yourself, to the honourable members of the committee, to the honourable ministers, to the directors general present, to the administrators, and to colleagues and members, any members of the public that may be attending this meeting. Thank you very much for this opportunity to make the presentation. I will presentation in PowerPoint form, which I will go through to guide this report. The presentation will cover, it will indicate its purpose, it will cover a background to the intervention. It will cover an overview of progress on cross-cutting issues, particularly issues that were raised as recommendations by the ad hoc committee in the Fifth Parliament. So we'll also cover the triggers, progress, and outstanding priorities for the departmental interventions. We will look at risks and mitigations to those risks. We will provide a conclusion and then recommendations. The purpose of this progress report is to, by the National Executive, is to appraise the NCOP Ad Hoc Committee on the intervention which is currently underway in terms of Section 101 of the Constitution. As mentioned, the presentation provides an overview of the intervention by NCOP's ad hoc committee, as well as progress on departmental interventions. To remind members of the crisis situation in the Northwest in April that necessitated and triggered the intervention by the National Executive, there were violent there was violent labor unrest, particularly in the health sector, which crippled services in the province, as well as community protests, paralyzing service delivery, destroying life and property. The situation in the health system was so dire that it required the intervention of the South African National Defence Force, the medical corps, to stabilize the provision of emergency health services. Children were being kept out of schooling in communities. In terms of the audit results, these showed a year-on-year decline for four straight years, with the Auditor General noting a refusal in the province to deal with issues raised, and particularly highlighting concerns of non-compliance in supply chain management laws and a persistent lack of consequence management. There was identified a systematic outsourcing of service delivery to irregularly appointed project management units. And this irregular contracts involved hundreds of millions of rands. Municipal services were also in a state of collapse in certain municipalities, and this again required the intervention of the SANDF in certain cases to maintain or restore critical services. We present here a timeline of events, starting with the invocation of Section 101B for the Northwest Department of Health on the 25th of April. In fact, sorry, I've omitted the first important beginning start of this process of the visit.
Or something? Okay, thank you.
Mr. Ryder, can you please
let's send you these things.
Please. Mr. Ryder, please mute.
Apologies, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, on the 20th of April, President Ramaphosa cut short an overseas trip to return to attend to the crisis in the province. The IMTT was established on the 30th of April and then embarked on an extensive process of engagements with stakeholders in the province, traveling extensively across the province to determine the situation, extent of the challenges. And on the 9th of May, Cabinet invoked Section 100 for the entire province based on the findings of the IMTT. By the 21st of May, there had been agreements reached with organized labor for staff to return to work. Apologies, I think I have stopped sharing the presentation. Apologies. Then on the 23rd of May, former Premier, Premier Mahoma Bapelo resigned, and Honourable Wendy Nelson, the MEC for Finance, took over as an acting Premier. On the same date, Cabinet specified interventions for 10 provincial departments in terms of Section 101A and Section 101B of the Constitution. The IMTT briefed the National Council of Provinces on the 14th of June. The new Premier was sworn in on the 22nd of June, Premier Job Mohoro. On the 28th of June, an MOU was signed between the national and provincial, the national executive and the province. Apologies for that missing word. On the 10th of July, administrators were appointed and began the process of setting up office in Mahikeng. Those were for the five departments put under Section 101B. Between the 15th and the 19th of October, the ad hoc committee for the NCOP undertook a site visit in the province. And then on the 31st of October, the NCOP approved the intervention based on the recommendations of the ad hoc committee, allowing the intervention to continue beyond the 180 days stipulated by the Constitution. The Premier reshuffled his Executive Council on the 6th of December. On the 6th of February, the IMTT presented its last progress report to the NCOP's ad hoc committee of the 5th Parliament. On the 8th of May, there were national and provincial general elections. 26th of March, the national lockdown began in response to the coronavirus pandemic. On the 2nd of December, the IMTT presented a progress report to Cabinet. And then, as members will recall, on the 3rd of December, the IMTT engaged with the NCOP select committees. Then on the 10th of December, I beg your pardon, there's a typo there. It should read, on the 10th of February 2021, the IMTT presented a progress report to Cabinet just a few days ago. Just to recap the provincial departments placed under intervention, we had two categories, and this list uses the departments as configured in the 5th administration. Those put under direct administration in terms of Section 101B, Office of the Premier, Department of Health, Public Works and Roads, Education and Sports Development, Community Safety and Transport Management. Those departments put under Section 101A, involving the issuing of directives by the responsible minister, finance, local government and human settlements. It should be noted that in the 6th administration, those have been split into two independent departments, although reporting to one MEC. Department of Social Development, Rural Environment and Agricultural Development, a department that has been reconfigured as well, and the Department of Tourism, which was abolished in the 6th administration. We would like to now present progress on the cross-cutting recommendations from the NCRP. These recommendations were communicated to the IMTT by the committee secretariat for this meeting, requesting an update to be provided. These recommendations emanate from the legacy or handover report. I beg your pardon. These recommendations are contained in the handover report of the ad hoc committee from the Fifth Parliament. So the first recommendation related to disciplinary action to be taken. We are reporting that 28 senior managers have faced or are currently facing disciplinary processes related to financial misconduct, fraud and corruption, or dereliction of duty and related charges. The breakdown of these current cases is as follows. Two chief directors in the Office of the Premier face disciplinary processes. One has been dismissed. The other was sanctioned and issued with a final warning. The Department of Health, eight senior managers have faced or are facing disciplinary processes, and two senior managers have been dismissed, including the head of department. The Department of Public Works and Roads, nine SMS members have faced and are facing disciplinary processes. The chief director of roads was dismissed, and the director legal services has resigned. Within that, nine includes the head of department, and that disciplinary process has been protracted and ongoing and is ongoing. In the Department of Community Safety and Transport Management, there are four senior managers. In the Department of Education, five, one dismissed, chief director infrastructure resigned. And we also note that the conclusion of the forensic investigations by the National Treasury and the Special Investigating Units are expected to result in more officials facing disciplinary processes as those investigations unfold. The second recommendation, recommendation B, relates to criminal investigations involving public funds. It should be noted, though, that we have the IMTT as a whole was requested, the members were requested to make briefings over three meetings. So there is a special briefing of the committee that will take place on the 22nd of February, next week, Monday, that will provide details. But we can just report a high-level overview that the National Prosecuting Authority, together with the DPC, the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigations, apologies for that typo, should read DPCI, are pursuing 51 criminal cases related to public funds in the Northwest. There are 17 cases enrolled for trial, two cases to be enrolled. There are 14 cases awaiting decision from the NPA. Eight cases are under investigation by the Directorate of Priority Crimes Investigation. 10 cases have been finalized with five guilty verdicts, one not guilty, four declined to prosecute. The details will be provided by the relevant law enforcement. The Asset Forfeiture Unit is currently involved in efforts to recover funds in priority cases. Specialist Investigating Units, the Special Investigating Unit is currently undertaking investigations under presidential proclamations. These are six presidential proclamations. These proclamations signed by the President are the outcome of the 44 preliminary investigations that were reported in the early phase of the intervention. The recommendation C related to compliance, good governance, financial management. Chairperson, I just need to ask for one second just to make sure that this is, meeting is not disturbed by some domestic situation. Can I just ask the person who's about to start a machine not to do so, and then I'll be right back. Excuse me for that and apologies. Sincere apologies to the chairperson and the meeting. This is one of the unintended consequences of 4IR. If I just go back to the previous slide, which spoke to the recommendation regarding compliance, good governance, and financial management. Most significantly, the audit results, the latest audit results of the Auditor General, showed a very pleasing turnaround after 5 years of decline, the 4 years that we spoke about, and then the 1 year of stagnation, which straddled the first year when the IMTT moved in. So we, during that, the previous audit results really showed a stagnation. The decline was arrested, but things hadn't changed. And it's very pleasing to note that the audit, the unqualified audits, increased from 4 to 7, including the Office of the Premier in the latest audit results. But again, the committee has requested the Auditor General of South Africa to provide a more detailed assessment to the committee on Friday the 19th. Within that, for previous financial year, there was a decrease in the annual irregular expenditure by approximately 1.3 billion from the previous year, still high, but a significant portion of that amount relates to historic irregular expenditure. So the in-year irregular expenditure has been addressed, although it continues due to contracts that were entered into prior to the start of the intervention, which could not be stopped due to the impact it would have on the lives of citizens. But those contracts are all in a process. If not already, most of them have already been addressed. In the audit, the Section 101B departments show reduction in audit findings and areas of qualifications. So three of those five departments received qualifications, education and Office of the Premier receiving unqualified audits. Capacity building is taking place across departments to strengthen supply chain management. And irregular project management units and outsourcing arrangements have been terminated and processes are underway to recover losses to the state. Similarly, in terms of the structure of the provincial government departments, they've been reconfigured under the Sixth Administration to align with national norms. The fourth recommendation related to the need for enabling legislation for interventions, and that legislation is anticipated under Section 103, Section 1398 of the Constitution. The Intergovernmental Monitoring Support Interventions Bill, known as the IMSI Bill, has been developed and consulted with affected government departments, and concomitant regulations have been developed. The bill will be presented before the State Advisor to test its constitutionality and will be simultaneously presented to the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation to undertake and obtain a socioeconomic impact assessment or SEER certificate in this financial year. The purpose of this bill is to regulate the implementation and processes provided for in Section 100 and Section 139. It provides targeted support to provinces and municipalities in need of assistance, provides for the monitoring of provinces and municipalities as to their fulfillment of executive obligations in terms of constitutional legislation, provides alternative steps to interventions to induce compliance by provinces or municipalities with their executive obligations. It will provide for the deployment of administrators by the intervening national executive or provincial executive, and provides for other matters connected therewith. The recommendations from the outgoing ad hoc committee also spoke to the need for the IMTT to ensure that there was a well-managed and planned for exit when the intervention came to a conclusion. Particularly, they focused on financial governance and controls. So just to talk to that, this slide talks to that. Directives under Section 101A will be issued when the direct interventions or the administrators withdraw and hand over to provincially appointed heads of department and the MECs. So there will be the continuity or the continuum of support will take place under these ministerial directives. These directives, together with other indicators, will be monitored through a proactive system to detect and respond to challenges timely and to prevent backsliding. This work is set out in the medium-term strategic framework of the first priority, building a capable state. The Director General of the province, as well as the heads of Department for Health, Social Development and Agriculture and Rural Development, which are currently vacant following resignation, dismissal and retirement, expiry of contract, filling these vacant positions is a critical milestone for leaving the province on a stable footing and enabling the withdrawal of the direct intervention. And the recruitment process for all four positions is on track for the new leadership to be in place by the start of the 2021-22 financial year. It's anticipated that the three HODs will be in position by the 1st of March, the Director General by the 1st of April. The contracts of four other heads of department, including the Superintendent General, the SG of the in the new financial year, and will need to be filled through a credible process to ensure stability. The recommendation F in the list that was provided to the IMTT is directed to the 6th Parliament suggests that the NCRP should monitor all disciplinary actions taken and criminal investigations. The final cross-cutting recommendation talks to the tabling of a detailed financial report, and that report will be tabled by the National Treasury in the separate briefing scheduled for the 19th of February 2021. In this report, we will just provide feedback on the intervention support under Section 101A in the Provincial Treasury, but we won't talk to the finances of the province. That will be covered in a separate report. There were a number of recommendations that were very specific made to the intervening departments by the ad hoc committee of the 5th Parliament. We are not presenting those because they were quite detailed. Many of them, time has overtaken some of those, but we have provided a full report from the intervention teams and administrators, the coordinators, on each of those, and that was provided as a separate annexure to this report. Just to run through the progress of the intervention, and we will by department. The first department which we report on is the Office of the Premier, and this intervention is led by the Minister of Public Service and Administration and his team. This department was put under Section 101B. This is the first time in the history of the democratic state that Section 101B had been invoked for an office of the Premier. And the reasons were failure to provide leadership, as required by an office of the Premier, resulting in generalized breakdown in the province of governance, accountability, and labor relations, non-compliance to prescripts, and an entrenched culture of impunity due to a lack of accountability and consequence management, an inability or unwillingness to address audit findings by the Auditor General, the Office of the Premier delivering a range of services that fall within the mandates of other departments, as well as the outsourcing of core functions to project management units and capacity outside of this of the government. Progress made here is recorded as a coordinating committee established led by the Office of the Premier to guide on transversal issues, improved controls and governance resulting in an unqualified audit. Various functions which had been centralized in the Office of the Premier in the Fifth Administration returned to the respective departments. Termination and investigation of irregular contracts and project and the project management unit in the Office of the Premier. There's been a rebuilding of internal capacity for managing information communication technology systems and related in the province, and the systems have been stabilized. The ICT was the focus of outsourced during the Fifth Administration through a problematic contract. ICT governance has been restored through the establishment of the Provincial ICT Steering Committee, and there has been a massive reduction in irregular expenditure. The outstanding priorities that are noted here are the conclusion of the appointment process for the Director General. The ICT, Provincial ICT strategy is in the process of being completed. Another outstanding project, or that is not yet completed, is the establishment of an effective provincial relations framework. The conclusion of the transfer of the community development workers to COGTA. These have been located within the Office of the Premier. There are still some outstanding matters related to the establishment of the new departments under the sixth administration, and there are also priority disciplinary processes that need to be overseen. The second department that I will talk to is the Department of Health. The reasons for intervening were the collapse of governance structures, supply chain management, and financial controls, resulting in high levels of accruals and failure to manage contracts. It's labor unrest due to dysfunctional performance management system and non-resolution of grievances and bonus payments. Corruption and dereliction of duty by senior officials, high vacancy rates, especially at the management level, collapse of services at hospitals and clinics requiring the intervention of the SANDF, emergency services under-resourced and under-capacitated. Here we talk to selected progress and achievements. Contracts have been reviewed and disciplinary processes commenced. Two senior managers, including the HOD, have been dismissed as a result of this, of contractual irregularities, and four lower-level officials have also been dismissed. The labor environment has been stabilized through agreements with organized labor and the reestablishment of the provincial bargaining chamber. Key management vacancies have been filled and over 5,000 permanent appointments have been made. Of these, we appointed 11 senior managers, of which three were National Department of Health officials who were promoted. A 10-year maintenance and refurbishment plan for hospitals was developed and is being implemented. The emergency capacity of the department's emergency management services has been enhanced significantly. This had been outsourced to a service provider that was, when investigations were done, there were several problems detected with that arrangement. Outstanding priorities, the new head of the department needs to be appointed to ensure that there's a stable department. A difficult issue relates to the correcting of the budget baseline to prevent the ongoing problem of accruals. The department just does not have a sufficient budget. Certainly I don't need to talk to the fiscal constraints that is not making that any easier. The project is the stabilization of the pharmaceutical section to ensure the reliable supply of medicines. This was an area of major concern. Improving ICT infrastructure is an ongoing project, and part of that is the automation of the document management and information generating processes. I will now move to the Department of Education, which is also under Section 101B. The reasons for intervening were non-compliance with the legislative and regulatory frameworks of government. Infrastructure school build program was fraught with irregularities and abuse of treasury regulations, in particular Section 16A, 6, I think that's 6, I'm not sure if that's not an error, but Section 16A, and it allows for, it's called the piggybacking legislation, which allows other departments to enter into contracts that were entered into by other parts of government. And this was abused to appoint contractors and resulting in large sums of money lost. Supply chain management challenges, including irregular awarding of huge contracts without going through procurement processes. Human resource management challenges, including irregular appointment of inappropriately qualified personnel, as well as an impasse with labor on the implementation of the approved organizational structure. In terms of progress and achievements, the matric results improved in the 2019 year following stabilization of educational of schooling. Vacant posts have been filled, principals, deputy principals, and heads of department. 12 procurement-related investigations have been completed. Irregular expenditure has been reduced by 1.2 billion. This is awaiting condemnation by the relevant authority. New business processes for financial management and invoice tracking have been adopted. New bid committees have been established. Built environment technical specialists have been appointed to improve the management of school construction projects. This area was found to be a very challenging space in terms of managing infrastructure spend. And the impasse of labor has been addressed over the approved structure. Outstanding priorities include the appointment of an audit firm to investigate the remaining irregular wasteful expenditure to enable completion of the condemnation process. Implementation of the structure for the district model for education for schools. Implementation of consequence management on investigated cases. Appointment of 4 senior managers and capacity for risk internal control and supply chain management units. The recruitment of infrastructure engineers and improve the infrastructure planning and performance and strengthen the financial and human resource management. I'll now cover the department that is under intervention under the National Department of Transport. This is the Northwest Department of Community Safety and Transport Management. The reasons for intervening were lack of control and systems, poor implementation of SCM processes and financial management, lack of proper compliance and governance monitoring, as well as several problematic contracts causing high levels of expenditure. These were scholar transport or learner transport, airport management companies. These have where there was high levels of irregular expenditure, as well as the Northwest Transport Investment, the parastatal responsible for transport between Gauteng and Northwest, the NTI. Selected progress and achievements. There's been a revised all SCM policies, developed a new contract management system, established new bid adjudication committees, and introduced project-specific evaluation committees. Management unit enhanced. The best performing unit was it was the best performing unit in the department with full compliance in all areas. Implementation of post audit action plans, trained staff to monitor compliance and detect possible irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure or unauthorized expenditure. Several investigations have been conducted on irregular contracts. The scholar transport has been set, contracts have been set aside. The cancellation of the SA Express contract, that was the one that relates to airport management companies and was the focus of testimonies at the Bondo Commission. The department has opted out of an irregular transversal security contract. There was also intervention to stop the liquidation of provincial transport companies and Northwest Transport Investments. Planning priorities include key contracts that were cancelled due to irregularities, illegalities, have concluded. These contracts, Scholar Transport and the others that have been halted, have been a source of difficulty for the intervention team are an ongoing priority. Finalization of outstanding investigations and consequence management resulting from the investigations, finalization and regularizing of the irregular expenditure, which needs to be condoned. Continuation with the stabilization of the NTI and improved liquidity after the overturn of liquidation. Finalize a fit-for-purpose organizational structure and clear repeat AG negative findings. The last department under Section 101B is the Department of Public Works and Roads. The reasons for intervening were the department had reduced the scope of its mandate over time and deviated from its role as custodian of the asset management plan. There was interference in procurement of services for unfunded mandates, ineffective financial management. The maintenance budget for roads was consumed by unfunded mandates emanating from the Premier's office, which aggravated backlogs in road management, and the department lacked technical expertise in the built environment. Progress and achievements, unblocking of construction projects, 1.3 billion for roads projects in 2019-20 financial year, 109 roads projects implemented under the roads recovery plan, creating over 9,000 jobs. Yellow fleet, graders and TLBs were procured for the first time in 3 years. Co-ops, brick plants, brick-making plants, community contractors and road maintenance programs were resuscitated. Criminal cases were opened for crimes including fraud and intimidation. 62,752 job opportunities were created through the expanded public works program. 62 local contractors, 40 SMMEs in road maintenance projects were empowered to the value of 220 million rand. 285 positions were advertised and 99 posts in the department have been filled to date. And the financial governance structures and controls have been reviewed and improved. Outstanding priorities include the filling of critical vacancies and the finalization of disciplinary processes. The finalization of forensic investigations into the IAMA and Open Waters forensic contracts, IAMA project management and Open Waters forensic investigations contracts, finalization of the infrastructure delivery maintenance system, the implementation of that system, protocols for that system on building finalize the assessment of all mega projects in the province. Deal with the office space and multi-tenancy office project for the provincial government, ensuring that the provincial government is housed in a suitable but cost-effective system. And the sale of redundant properties and the implementation of the information management systems for public works. Chair, I will now move to the departments under Section 101A. These departments were under directives, but remained under the control of the heads of department and the responsible MECs. Chair, I'm not sure, and with your guidance, whether I should go through with the same level of detail for the Section 101A departments, but I will take your guidance. Otherwise, I will just highlight key matters in the interests of time. Is the chairperson available for that guidance? Otherwise, I will just proceed.
I suggest that you proceed with the entire presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Okay. The reasons for intervening in 2018 in terms of the diagnostic that was conducted, there was major weaknesses in supply chain management in the provincial government. Chairperson?
You are cutting.
Thank you very much. So the reasons for intervening were major weaknesses in the supply chain management systems of the provincial government, as well as in the monitoring and support of municipal finance management. Financial controls in the finance cluster had collapsed due to historically accumulated unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure and accruals. This was largely due to non-compliance with SCM laws and regulations. Although the provincial treasury itself achieved a clean audit, the remaining departments, the rest of the provincial government over which the provincial treasury had a mandate to oversee, were failing in the financial governance space. So it achieved a clean audit, although there was demonstrated weakness in its fiscal oversight role. Progress and achievement, an SCM framework for provincial departments and entities was reviewed and adopted. The reviewed framework was adopted. Provincial Treasury Supply Chain Management Unit organizational structure was approved, and the appointment of key personnel is in progress. Apologies for the typo there. Competency assessments for approximately 720 supply chain management officials, both for municipal and provincial government, have been completed, and individual competency gaps based on these assessments have been identified. The National Treasury has assisted the Provincial Treasury to finalize a contract management framework for the province. Outstanding priorities include the condemnation of irregular expenditure, the historic irregular expenditure, implementing the contract management project for municipalities, undertaking a skills audit and upskilling of municipal budget and treasury officers, and provincial treasury's MFM unit, municipal finance management unit. Intervening in terms of the MFMA, there's a municipal intervention, invocation and implementation of Section 139 of the MFMA, development of implementation plan for supply chain management capacity building support. Now move to the Northwest Department of Governance and Traditional Affairs. Reasons for intervening. The failure to approve and finalize the organizational structure. 20 out of 22 municipalities obtained disclaimers from the Auditor General or qualified audit opinions. 12 municipalities were considered to be dysfunctional, requiring urgent intervention. Poor financial management in the department. Inadequate implementation of audit improvement plans and weak municipal support by the department. Water and sanitation support functions were weak in the province. Progress, the provincial department received a clean audit showing improvements in governance and financial management. Situation in municipalities remains a concern. Water and sanitation challenges continue to negatively affect the province. Outstanding priorities include really ensuring that the department is fit for purpose. It's the view of the IMTT that the organization is currently inadequately capacitated to provide the role that it needs to provide to address the situation in municipalities, as well as the service delivery challenges, in particular water and sanitation challenges at local government level. the migration of the community development workers and the systems and budgets from the Office of the Premier to COGTA remains an outstanding matter, as well as the review and implementation of Section 154 municipal support plans that were issued in July 2018. Again, the failure of the provincial department to implement these support plans points to the root cause challenges emanating from the Department of Human Settlements. As I mentioned, the Department of Human Settlements became a standalone department at the start of the formation of the sixth administration. The reasons for intervening were that the department did not meet its targets in terms of the approved business plan. There has been frequent changes of incumbency to the head of department post, impacting on the management stability, poor audit outcomes due to irregular expenditure, lack of technical capacity. Progress and achievements. The Human Settlements Development Grant Plan for 1920-21 was completed, approved, and implemented. The department achieved its actual targets on delivery of service sites and units built during the period under review. The Title Deeds Restoration Grant Business Plan was developed and implemented. Multi-year human settlement
development.
Multi-year human settlements development plan and project readiness matrix.
I did not.
There's someone who's intervening here. Is that Mr. Masala? Mr. Masala?
Sorry, Chair. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm unmuted today.
Sorry for that, team. You can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Outstanding priorities in the Department of Human Settlements involve really building the capacity within the new department, establishment of new departmental structures, and these have been noted as being effectively non-existent. When you receive the detailed presentation from the Auditor General, in spite of the improvements overall in the province, the new department received a disclaimer from the Auditor General. This lack of capacity means that the department is heavily reliant on a project management unit, which has been the subject of some negative media coverage over the past few months. The transfer of the Northwest Housing Corporation houses to beneficiaries remains an outstanding priority, as well as the completion of blocked projects. The Department of Social Development, also under Section 101B, reasons for intervening were non-compliance with SCM processes, lack of internal controls and audit findings not actioned by management, non-compliance with Occupational Health and Safety Act, and collapse of services due to breakdown in labor relations. In particular, this non-compliance with Occupational Health and Safety Act in relation to the accommodation for officials was one of the key drivers of this of these strikes that resulted in the breakdown of services. The department, the national department, is of the view that sufficient progress has been made on the ministerial directives to warrant issuing a closeout report. Outstanding items remain in terms of those directives is the matters related to the accommodation, in other words, office space. But these matters are not easily solved as they are a result of budgetary constraints. So the National Department is continuing to provide support on the challenges regarding infrastructure that the provincial department face. Other trigger points for the strikes of 2018, such as tools of trade and those kinds of things, have all been addressed, and the labour situation is stable there now. And one outstanding priority is the appointment of a permanent HOD, but that's on track as reported. In the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, the intervention is taking place under Section 101A. And the reasons for intervening included structural weaknesses in the department that includes inadequate business planning and execution of programs and projects, lack of alignment between strategic capacity and capabilities, challenges in the use of an implementing agent, a project management unit called AgriDelight, resulting in problems with project implementation, progress and achievement, the use, again, apologies for the typos in this report, the use of project management units in the department was halted, it was AgriDelight project management unit, and there's been a notable improvement in the department itself implementing projects. The forensic audit into the AgriDelight matter has been completed. There's also been a forensic audit into the comprehensive agricultural support program, conditional grants, transfer of assets to beneficiaries has been completed, a new organizational structure has been approved, and the engineering capacity within the department has been strengthened. I should also note, Chairperson, that the national department has provided an official to act as the head of department since the previous HOD left. That arrangement has been done on the request of the provincial MEC. So the department is not under Section 101B, although the national department, through this official, is providing hands-on support. Outstanding priorities include the appointment of the HOD, finalizing incomplete agro-processing projects, investigation of and consequence management related to prior irregular expenditure of $1 billion, and the finalization of the AgriDelight project management unit matter. The department has been struggling with this to get a closeout report from the project management unit, which would detail the over half a $1 billion that was expended. They do not have this information yet, and they are in court trying to get that report, and the project management unit is continuing to issue invoices, even though the matter is under dispute and has been pointed to as being an area of concern. Finally, the Department of Tourism, Section 101A. As I mentioned, in the sixth administration, there's no longer a provincial Department of Tourism. This has been incorporated as a function into the Department of Economic Development, Environment, Conservation and Tourism, in line with other norms of departmental structures in other provinces. The reason for intervening were a conflation of the powers between the administration and the political leadership. There was a need for an assessment of the oversight processes between the department and the Northwest Tourism Board, improving financial management, contract management, and enhancing governance arrangements. Similar to the Department of Social Development, the National Department considers directives have been fulfilled. So the tourism function, as I mentioned, has been transferred out of a standalone department. And one of the really important areas was the merger of the Northwest Parks Board and the Northwest Tourism Board. There was a duplication by splitting those two functions. So they've been merged in line with the recommendations from the National Department. And the department is really effectively arguing that the intervention is under the 101A is effectively concluded, and the department is providing ongoing support through the normal support measures. Chairperson, I'll now move to risks and mitigation. The first one, Chairperson, is a recognition that processes that are central to the future stability of the provincial government, such as the appointment and handover to new heads of departments, finalizing some of the matters related to the restructuring of departments, as well as outstanding disciplinary processes, are taking longer than anticipated. And here to note that Cabinet has changed its December 2020 decision to withdraw the intervention at the end of March 2021 and will review progress in June 2021, effectively giving an additional 3 months for these outstanding priorities to be dealt with, and then to take a decision at the end of the first quarter on where we are in relation to these priorities. The risk of regression in departments after the withdrawal of the administrators, the national departments, requires mitigation through issuing targeted directives and proactive monitoring when the administrators leave. It cannot be a hard withdrawal that leaves no measures in place to ensure there's continuity after the intervention withdrawals. Continued instability in municipalities undermines service delivery in the province. This is being addressed through collaboration between the provincial and national COGTAs, and gains made towards establishing the district development model in the province are being leveraged. Continuing with risks and mitigation, the Provincial Department of Human Settlements lacks the institutional capacity to manage the full portfolio of housing programs and projects. As mentioned earlier, this has led to over-reliance on the outsourced project management unit. The National Department is working with the province to address these challenges. A climate of hostility towards the intervention and campaigns to discredit and intimidate administrators remain a threat that is being managed through a range of measures. Slow progress in disciplinary processes is also identified as a risk. Officials facing charges have employed delaying tactics to frustrate disciplinary hearings. Consideration is being given for a special dispensation for disciplinary cases during an intervention. Similarly, slow progress in criminal cases poses a risk to the intervention. Efforts have been made to improve coordination between law enforcement agencies and to increase capacity where that has been cause for delays. Now moving to the final part of the presentation, Chair. These are the conclusion and recommendations. By way of conclusion, Chair, the decision by the National Executive to continue the intervention and review progress in June 2021 provides additional time to address outstanding priorities. Directives and close monitoring and support required to ensure the achievement of outstanding priorities in the Section 101B departments and to address challenges in the departments of COGTA and Human Settlements. Apologies, there's a word missing. Directives and close monitoring and support are required to ensure achievement of outstanding priorities in the departments under Section 100, as well as to address challenges in COGTA and Human Settlements. The vacant posts of the Director General and Heads of Department in Health, Social Development and Agriculture and Rural Development are expected to be filled by the end of March 2021. Full capacitation of departments at senior level is underway to ensure that the administration intervention leaves a stable senior management leadership in place. Finally, our recommendations. It is recommended that the ad hoc committee notes the progress made to restoring good governance in the Northwest Province as reflected in the positive results of the 1920 audit, and also notes the decision of Cabinet to continue the intervention and review the situation in June 2021. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Tim. For the presentation. It was a very long but detailed presentation, the work of the IMTT in the Northwest Province. And I'm very much happy, I'm inspired by the fact that In this meeting, almost all the departments are represented. When we started with the meeting, I indicated that it was the minister and who is the head of the IMTT and Minister Drogo, as well as Minister Kubai. Other ministers and deputy ministers have joined us, and I think it is appropriate to acknowledge them. Minister Njimo Tsheha is here. Minister Thokoza Didiza is here. Deputy Minister Phahla, Deputy Minister Vapela, as well as Deputy Minister Chikunga. We are quite happy because that demonstrates how Cabinet and the entirety of the IMTT takes this work serious, because we need to ensure that we do our work quite diligently and competently, and we ask quite difficult questions so that at the end of the day, we cooperate and we work together in ensuring that we see the situation in the Northwest with the same eyes and formulate proper recommendations moving forward. That is the presentation that is before us. We can interact with the presentation. I will open for questions, for comments, for any contributions in relation to the presentation. And I'm going to start with Honorable Yunis Karim. He has indicated that within no time he is going to depart. It's important to give him an opportunity to start with asking questions, and I will pick up other members of Parliament who want to also ask questions. For now, I note Honorable Dutoi as well. Yes. I'll start, Honorable Karim.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't have very much to ask. I'm just noting the report, as indeed the reports we got previously. excuse me. It just seems to me that I think we acknowledge that the departments have done, the government, the interministerial committee and the task team, and the officials have done quite good work overall. These interventions are very difficult to address. I think many of us feel the interministerial task has done a reasonably good job. We're also acutely aware, obviously, that COVID-19 poses very specific challenges to the departments doing their work and the interministerial task team. But we should perhaps come back to the point that last week we were told that Cabinet's taken a decision to withdraw the intervention, and I'm not so clear about how that relates to the input today. Is there such a Cabinet decision? What criteria was used to decide on the exit? Because that Chairperson has, you know, also shaped our own role taking these matters forward. Beyond that, Chairperson, I don't have any specific questions, thank you, except that we as a committee, obviously, having listened now to this this input and on Friday, we'll have to appropriately shape our program. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
All right, thank you very much, Honorable Dutoi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to find out, we were supplied with the PowerPoint presentation, the detailed response report from the committee. I've got a few questions that I want to pose to the presenter with regards to that report as well. Am I allowed to do so? I believe it is of utmost importance that we get in all the information and not just touch base on broad summaries of what is presented to us. May I proceed, Chair?
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Chair.
But remember, at the same time, in terms of how we have structured and adopted our program, we are going to details on Friday when we interact with National Treasury in terms of analyzing the financial situation of the province. We are also going to deal with the report of the Auditor General in much deeper detail on Friday. And as we are aware, next week, we're dealing with the law enforcement agencies, the ROCs, the SIU, the Asset Forfeiture Unit, and all of that. and that you may not necessarily get all the details as you wish now. Here is an overall presentation about the work of the committee itself, and I would really appreciate if the members understand it from that particular point, but not really restricting or inhibiting members from asking questions in the way that they want to. Yes, you can proceed.
Thank you, Chair. I'll keep that in mind. Chair, I'm going to start with regards to the Department of Health. It is said that more appointments will be done in that specific sector. Question is that budgeted for, and what measures are in place to ensure that cadre deployment doesn't take place in that specific area, since we've seen that happen in the past? I'm going to jump to education. In the report, it stated that we've got a very high pass rate in schools, but in the summary, it also indicated that a lot of the schools were closed for some time, some of the schools for 5 months and other for 3 months. It refers to a recovery plan that was successful. I want to know if we can have more information on that. What did this recovery plan entail? And obviously, when learners lose 6 months, 5 months and 3 months respectively of schooling, it's no way that their pass rate can improve over such a short time. Jane, when we go to public works and roads, were there any cases that were open against the previous Premier Supramuel Mapelu, since these transgressions happened under his watch? In the report, the PowerPoint presentation, it only indicates two persons in the office of the Premier. Nowhere is the Premier implicated or mentioned at all, and that is troublesome since this happened under his watch. When we go to the Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs, it refers to problems in the JB Marks municipality, and it stipulates that the reason for why the municipality was put under administration, and I'm quoting, the JB Marks has been placed under administration to address some of the challenges that emerge from the merger. The mayor has been arrested by the Hawks. I want to make it clear that, yes, the merger of JB Marks, Potchefstroom, this did pose a lot of challenges, but it is as a result of maladministration and other things that happened in the municipal structures that resulted in service delivery not being put on the forefront. I want to know if the previous municipal manager, Bai Mukhekli, is also being investigated with regards to this Section 100 under which the province is, and then also the JB Marks municipality as an entity. Chair, I've got two last points, or three of them. The Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, it's mentioned here that AgriDelight, there are quite a few investigations going on with regards to that. That is specifically mentioned in the report is 604 million rand that is in dispute. But in 2014, the company was awarded a three-year contract worth 650 million rand. And not the 604 that is put in the report. My question is, what happened to the rest of the money? Isn't that applicable somewhere? And then with regards to this as well, the cattle worth 1.5 million rand that was allegedly delivered to Mr. Jacob Zuma's Nkandla residence, has that been recovered? If yes, where is it? And also, if you can have feedback with regards to the allegations of sheep and cattle that were sent to Supramo Mapelu's farm. I'm almost done, Chair. I've got 30 seconds left, Chair. I did mention there nowhere it's indicated that Supramo Mapelu is being investigated at all, only that two employees in his department and the one has been dismissed. Back to the Department of Education, it says here outstanding priorities and appointment of an audit firm to investigate the remaining irregular and wasteful expenditure. Why is this only being done now? I mean, we've got a huge long process that has unfolded, and up to now, that audit firm hasn't been appointed. And that's really troublesome, Chair. Lastly, Department of Public Works and Roads, the report boasts of progress and achievements that 62,752 opportunities were created through the EPWP program. We currently have a problem where these people are being employed monthly, month on month on month, the same people, and then they feel that they're entitled to be provided with permanent employment. My question is, what measures are in place to prevent this from happening, to give other people the opportunity to apply for those work? Thank you, Chair.
Come up, Mr. Dutoy. Other members, I'm not restricting any one of you, but can I sincerely implore you to take at least 5 minutes at the most? I know that we are not that many, but yes, and try to be pointed in terms of your questions. I note Honorable Fraser, followed by Honorable Raida, followed by Honorable Zandamela, in that order.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in terms of the knowledge and understanding of the committee, I request that the Memorandum of Understanding and the Implementation Protocol documents also be circulated to the members of the committee, so that we can see from where it started the intervention and where are we heading to. I'm very happy to see that there is the lifting of the intervention of the provincial Northwest Provincial Government is postponed until June, and that the recommendation was also that there cannot be a hard withdrawal. Thank you, Chair, and the rest I will see as we follow after Friday's meeting. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Honourable Raida.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, look, my question relates really to that third column. I think that we note the work that has gone in to the first column, the second column. The third column details some outstanding issues, and there were some quite serious outstanding issues that remain needing to be dealt with. And in fact, even some of the comments there in that detail that these things need to be dealt with before the Section 100 process is completed. Some of them seem to look like they were quite time-consuming and quite far from being concluded. We all know that things like filling of vacancies can take quite some time with the HR requirements, as well as the fact that with close scrutiny, supply chain management, procurement takes an inordinate amount of time. So if we can just maybe get some sort of an idea, you know, really it looks like the Section 100 process is going to need to be increased certainly beyond March, especially with the amount of work that still needs to be done there. How much time is going to be needed beyond March? That's essentially my question. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zandamela. The line is bad, Honorable
Yes, I'm saying to you, I'm trying to cover
speakers,
but
just
want to raise
few things. Your line is very bad. Honorable Zandamela, we can't
hear you. Can you hear me now?
Honorable Zandamela, your line is...
Yes, can you hear me, Chair?
Yes. Is that turned up? Can you... You can proceed? D'accord. Your line is very bad. Can I skip you and maybe come back to you?
You hear me, Chair?
Yes, it's better now. Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you quite well.
Yes. No, thanks, Chairperson. Yes, though I'm partly covered by the previous speakers, but there's just three things that I wanted to raise. It's the overall presentation. It's too summarized. But I heard you saying that we'll be interacting with different departments going forward, the SIU and all the other departments that were busy with the intervention. So we would appreciate if you can get the detailed report, especially like, for instance, on the issue of the roads and all. If we can perhaps get that information, we need to know exactly where did that happen, the unauthorized and fruitless expenditure in those departments. And I'm also covered, though I wanted clarity on the issue of the withdrawal, but I think I'm answered on that the national government has now postponed the withdrawal of the intervention. The last one, it was also with the detailed report. If we can get that information, especially sourced. So if we can get a deep with regard to all the things that Dr. has mentioned. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Honorable, thank you, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Thank you. Honorable Sileku?
Yeah.
No, Honorable Sileku?
Chair, can you hear me?
Yes.
No, Chair, mine is because I was having difficulties in hearing some of the questions that were raised. I hope the question that I'm going to ask clarity on has not been raised. Chair, what I would love to know is that can we provide it with a breakdown in terms of the costs that has actually cost the country to intervene in the Northwest? How much did it cost the South Africans? And that is the first question, Chair. And second question, Chair, is just I hear what Honourable Zanda Mela is saying, that the withdrawal has been postponed in terms of the intervention in the Northwest. But Chair, what is important is I would like to know what the IMTT looks at when they would have to withdraw intervention in that particular province, because I know one of the things that they were looking at and saying that the reason why they wanted to move to take people out of that province is because of the improvement in audit outcomes. And I just need to more information. What constitutes a withdrawal for intervention? You know, if Jeff just elaborate on that, so that we can have an understanding. Thank you very much, Chef.
Thank you very much. I don't see any other hand that wants to make a contribution. In the light of that, let me also make some few questions, remarks and questions, ask questions. Firstly, I think just noting the outstanding matters, I think there is a compelling case for the extension of the intervention until June. And for me, there is a difference between what you said when you presented in the House in December and what you say now. In December, Honorable Minister, you said we are ending in March. This time, you're saying in June, we are going to review progress, and you are not saying we are ending. And I think for me to communicate that, it is quite important, because coming from the Northwest, I had a lot of people saying this intervention is ending at the end of March, and that is it, without even looking at issues of post-intervention exit plans. And for me, that is quite important, and to clarify this particular decision of cabinet very clearly. But as I indicated, for me, this extension is warranted, is necessary, given the fact that there are a lot of outstanding issues that this intervention team has got to attend to. Now, I'm making a comparison here between what you said in December and what you're saying today. One of the key important points that you raised in December when you presented to us, you said there is a capacity improvement in the law enforcement agencies, especially the NPA and the SIU. But when I look at progress in terms of the outstanding cases, I think there is little, very, very little difference. And maybe you can explain what accounts to that when these offices have been capacitated, and one would expect that matters will be expedited and they will be dealt with accordingly. In the presentation itself, I don't hear you talking about the PPEs. Is in the Northwest everything honky-dory, okay, in terms of the PPE alleged corruption that is taking place that we hear about across the country in the municipalities? I didn't hear how the IMTT is dealing with issues of the PPE procurement, if there are any maladies, and if they are, how do you handle that particular area? For me, that is quite important because COVID-19 has increased the burden on the part of the work of the IPTT, and this needs to be tackled. And in case that there is such a problem in the Northwest, it needs to be dealt with. One other question relates to the filling of posts, especially HODs as well as senior management positions in the department. The same information that you gave us in December, you are giving us the same information, and I don't understand. And then there is no explanation why these positions can't be filled, so that because it is quite important that they need to be filled so that we restore stability in the Northwest. And if there are issues which inhibit the filling of those particular positions, they must be indicated so that they are attended to immediately. For me, it is quite important for us to do that. The last point for me is, and I agree with you that there is a climate of hostility and a campaign to discredit the IMTT, but I don't hear the IMTT say this is what we are doing in precision to attend to this particular issue, to ensure that whatever hostility and whatever campaign that is there to discredit the IMTT is dealt with, because if it is going to continue, it has the potential to paralyze the work of the IMTT, and this is a matter that must be dealt with, in my view. And I didn't hear you say, whilst acknowledging that there is a problem, I didn't hear you saying this is what we do to mitigate that particular problem. This is how far I can go for now in relation to the questions as well. In the light of the fact that there are no other hands, over to you, Honorable Minister, and your team for responses. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you to all the to the honorable members who have asked questions. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
We can hear you quite well, quite well.
Okay. Honorable Chairperson, I'm very sorry because there's a storm where I am, and I kept getting kicked out, so I did not hear most of the questions. But I heard what you asked. So what I will do, I will first ask all the officials to respond to some of the questions, and then the colleagues, the ministers who are here, deputy ministers, to also respond to those that refer to their areas, and then I will come in at the end, and the administrators should also take some of the questions. Maybe I'll start with Mr. Mbanza. Do you want to take some of the questions and then the other officials from other departments should come in and administrators, then the ministers if there are still things left, and then I'll come in at the end. And if I'm cut, Minister Mtsekga should take over my position. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much, Minister. I will try to deal with the questions that relate to the Office of the Premier, and I would also ask my colleagues, like the Minister has indicated, who are the administrators in the other departments to fill in on specific questions. The first question I will deal with is that of filling of vacancies. The issue of filling of critical vacancies, we identified 4 vacancies in December, which we have said we are busy working on, that being the DG position and 3 HODs for the Department of Health, the Department of Social Development, and the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. What has happened since then, Chair? We had held interviews for all those departments, and the final reports of the outcomes of those departments have been presented to the Honourable Premier, who will eventually take it to the Minister of Public Service and Administration for final appointment. The administrative work has been finalized on that particular score in the sense that all those interviews were successful and they were chaired by the MECs responsible for those portfolios together with 2 other MECs. It means that each and every one of them had 3 MECs and the officials. So we believe that as soon as the Honourable Premier, who's got the report, has finalised that together with the Minister of Public Service and Administration, those individuals that will be appointed will receive their appointment letters. That is how far we are from December to date in terms of the filling of posts, which we have indicated that we would love that come the 1st of April, all the incumbents or all the successful candidates receive their letters of appointment to fast track and facilitate the handover in that particular school. The other question that I would deal with is the extension of that is the cabinet giving us that we need to look at these issues, especially outstanding issues right up to the end of June, which will be an issue of IMTT, who will then review where we are at that particular time. I think that that will depend largely on the IMTT. The MOUs and implementation protocols, those documents are available, Chair. We will make them available to the Chair because when the intervention started, MOUs between the Premier's office as well as the Minister, who the Chair, they entered into the MOU, but over and above that, there were protocols, implementation protocols from each department, which also are available and will make them available to the committee. Then on the platform, Chair, we've got colleagues who I think the first question was around health that can deal with the health question, education, public works, as well as agriculture. Those are the ones that I would ask them to assist in providing answers. The reports, the full reports that we have sent in December and the one that we can send now, I think we have circulated that report, will be with the members in terms of department by department of what we have achieved and what we were asked there to do as an intervention. There's a question that I think the minister will answer around the hostility of the intervention. We have mentioned that we have, in our report, but we also gave the IMTT the full details of what we mean by that. Thanks very much, Chair. If you allow, may I allow other colleagues who are the administrators working on the ground to fill in some of the questions. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I suggest that those who wish to make some contributions must indicate by showing their hands there. I'll pick them up. I think it's going to be quite easy and help us to facilitate the process faster. I see the hand of Ms. Jeanette Hunter and Mama Angie for yes. Jeanette Hunter.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, Honourable Members. Good afternoon to the committee and all the ministers and deputy ministers on the IMTT and also to my colleagues. Chairperson, there was a question about the health filling post and whether we have a budget to fill the posts. Yes, my response has to be backdropped by the fact that when the Section 101B intervention came into being in 2018, the Northwest Department of Health had not filled key posts for more than 4 years. So we had a large number of vacancies. Just to mention, the vacancy rate was 21% that year, and we've brought it down this year to 14%. So I want to answer for going this financial year, 2020-2021, and then going forward with the 2021-22 year. Yes. I'll post that we will fill will be vacant funded posts to make sure we don't overspend on compensation of employees. But having said that, I must share with the committee that I'm not oblivious or I haven't forgotten that the Northwest Department of Health overspent by 3% on compensation of employees for the 2019-2020 year. But that was not a mistake or us not knowing what we are doing. That was a calculated, because it was, those were posts that had to be filled. They were specialist posts that were needed to shorten waiting times for persons awaiting life-saving and life-improvement operations. We had to employ health professionals who had to complete community service and their internship to afford an opportunity to complete their training and become qualified that they could compete in the job market. Chair, there was also a question of how do we make sure that posts will not be subjected to cadre deployment. All the posts filled in the Northwest Department of Health are advertised in line with the specifications of the Department of Public Service and Administration. We have external panel members, especially panel members from other national departments on our shortlisting and interview panels. And then also we've made it good practice in the Northwest Department of Health to have labor representatives, even for senior posts where it is not a DPFA prescript. Also to say, Chair, the SIU report on the PPE scandal came out recently, and there was nothing found against the Northwest Department of Health. I cannot speak for other departments. Nothing found against the Northwest Department of Health. They did list the cases that they investigated, and they also clearly communicated in that report that there was nothing found. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let me see.
Yes. Can I take Dr. Joe Pasa, followed by DM Ovet Vapela?
Thank you, Chair. I don't know what happened. I'd also seen earlier on the hand of Administrator for Transport. But what let me that? Just...
That's what you said, Doctor, so that I check whether, because I want to finish with administrators. I don't see his hand any longer. That is why I skipped. I'm now dealing with the with you. You can proceed.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
Honorable Chair.
Who's that?
What happened to my hand, Honorable Chairperson, Mukonyama, Administrator for Transport?
You tell me. You tell me. Can I... Honorable Pastor, can I take that hand quickly?
Please.
And follow yes.
Yeah.
Please.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Matabata Mukonyama, the Administrator for Community Safety. I think the question I wanted to deal with was a general question that said...
Can you switch on your video, please? Members would love to see your face.
Sorry.
They will visit you at the end of the month to the Northwest, but they want to see all the attendees.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. That is the baby face. Honorable Chair, the question was saying... what are the actual things that you are really going to do after March? And could we get a detailed report on that? I'm sure that the report would still come via the center from Intertem Panza. But I think just to pick up on two critical issues, there are which were triggers for the intervention in our area, the security tender and the learner transport. The learner transport had been a problem, has been a problem from 2009-10, way back. It has never been okay. Even now, we are re-advertising because there were loopholes in terms of the process, again, when we were dealing with the pre-award audit. And so is the security tender. So for me, I don't necessarily subscribe it to lack of capacity, but I think they are just very complex because in scholar transport, for example, you would have to deal with 2,500 applicants or bidders, prospective bidders, whereas you want only about 190. Now, those are the very complex matters, and if we were to say we had cleaned up the SCM environment, we then would have assisted the province to deal with those two. I just mentioned those two, but commuters also another one, those two very complex programs. And then the last thing, I agree that some other things will be ongoing. For example, where we have identified gaps in terms of getting additional capacity, we can assist up to a stage where we would have dealt with the purpose, fit-for-purpose organogram or the personnel structure, but the feeling thereof can still be left with the province. So those are the two critical issues that we say, if we were to finalize those, we would have dealt with 80% of what has always been disclosed as a regular expenditure. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
All right, thank you very much. Over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chair, and greetings to my colleagues in the ministerial team and also the honorable members. Led by yourself, Chair. I just wanted to respond. I know Ms. Jeanette Hunt went there, but because I think Honorable Detroit was saying it from a political point of view, let me just say to him that definitely our instructions as the political principals responsible for the administration for the Section 101B in the Northwest in Ireland are very clear in terms of our instructions to the administrator and the team that in the administrative side
things, including the HOD. Her mandate is to make sure sent to take over as the head of the department, as outlined by the provincial administrator from the premier's office. That that process, it's purely to look at people who are capable in terms of qualifications and also in terms of experience who qualify, starting with the head of department and also any other managers and also various professionals in various aspects of the provision of health services. So I want to assure all the honorable members, including Honorable Detroit, that from our point of view, we are simply looking for people who will be able to take the province forward in the portfolio of health, who are competent to be able to take the province forward. That will not exclude anybody on the basis of their political affiliation, whether it be from any party, whether in parliament or outside of parliament. That will be irrelevant in terms of their suitability to be appointed right from the head up to any other role playing in the health portfolio. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pasla. Honorable Mapela.
Thank you, Chairperson, and all honorable members in the meeting, my ministers and deputy ministers present and all officials. All the questions raised by Honorable Dodova, I think the minister had all of them. She will be responding, Minister Nkosa Zanazamini Zuma. I'm just going to add a few that she might not listen to, also to Honorable Dennis Ryder, was asking on the filling of vacancies, Minister, as to how much more time beyond March do you need? Even though the administrator, Mbanza, has answered that the ideal environment is that by 1st of April, if they can see people taking up offices, that's where the process is. It's still targeted towards that. But he wanted to know, how much more time does the IMTT want beyond March to really fill vacancies, as it might be other delays coming in? Other area that, Minister, just for you to also consider in your responses is the cost in the intervention. It was asked by Honorable Isaac Sileku, who was asking, what are the costs of the intervention? And also, second question from him was that on the IMTT as to what is it that they look at before withdrawal? Is it just clean audit outcomes or improvement on the audit outcomes? Or what else are you looking at before you say, now we can withdraw? The only question I'll then respond to is in relation from Honorable Detroit, who was asking around the JB marks being put under 1391B. In response to that, we just want to indicate here that COGTA in the Northwest has its full powers. It is under 1391B, meaning it can take decisions to ESCO and then determine whatever are the decisions. And then if COGTA in the Northwest so decided that JB Max should be under 1391B, it is within the right of COGTA because it's not under B. And therefore, yes, they did take a decision that 1391B should be applied to the JB Max municipality. And it came as a result of the service delivery challenges that you had pointed out to them, saying that is maladministration that has led to the collapse of service delivery. But secondly, if you remember, it was also the issue of the failure to pass the budget at that particular point in time. And then all attempts have been failing until the province had to come in. And then the issue of the mayor being arrested came very late, even after the 1391P was taken. At the national level, the minister only concurs. The decision to put municipalities under 1391P is the purview of the provinces, and then the minister nationally will only be asked to do a concurrence, and then the NCOP further to look at the issues as to the reasons and the motivations, and then that's it. So we don't determine which municipality at the national level must go under 1391P also. So it was just that response to say, therefore, on 1391P, JP must, those are the facts. But lastly, which was the question raised, is the former or the current MM going to be, is it being investigated or charges contemplated against him? I think those will then have to find from the province. I see the HOD is not here, of course, and obviously we'll just have to follow up on the issue as to what's going to happen to the MM, who is said to be having some issues to be investigated or charges pending, but we'll leave it to, we'll take the matters to the provincial court to then further give information on that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, B.M. Babela. Honorable Minister Njumo Sekga.
No, Chair, I raised my hand by mistake. I'm not sure if our administrator is not here because my system can't show who is here. So I will allow him to respond, but if not, I can respond to the questions which were raised about education. So in the Dempsey, I'm not sure if he's here.
He was here. He's here, I think.
Okay, then I'll come when ministers come.
Okay, now thanks, Chairperson, honorable ministers and deputy ministers and members, honorable members and my colleagues. The questions that were raised were regarding the improved pass rate and the disruption of virtual classes. To say how soon did we manage to arrest the situation. Chairperson, I'd like to refer to the challenge that we had, that it was actually a big one at the Kupa start, where there was no schooling from July to December 2018. We then, in that case, because there was no schooling at Ramgoka for that period, what we managed to do was to remove the matriculants and their teachers to a safe place where now teaching continued, and they also wrote examination at those special camps where they were taught during the week and also, you know, on weekends. And their results were actually good, the matric results from that intervention. And starting from January in 2019, we then had all learners going back to school. And we then started now implementing a recovery plan for the whole school. And we managed actually to get improvement as well, but for the all the grades, including at the end of 2019, the results were very good. And the last one that had also a problem, I'm not mentioning those that will be, you know, well, here and there for a few days or a week. The next one is Kahameng in RSM, where from January to March, people, learners could not go to school because of the there were demands for a tar road. Because most of the time, Chairperson, I must say that the problem, the protests are not related to education. There are now service delivery, you know, well, protests unfortunately, then they affect education. So with regard to that one, as well, for that period of 3 months, we came up with a recovery plan. It was implemented throughout the year with special lessons and that we had to provide. And during holidays, we had camps as well, wherein learners were actually in the world taught and actually in the world and helped. We even had the students, the learners for matric, writing their examination away from RSM as well, because there were actually problems that were likely to come up. And as well, then the response, the pass rate was actually, you know, very good. That's what I can actually respond to that question. And with regard to the appointment of accounting firms to investigate the remaining irregular expenditure, we have, Chairperson, or we had 1.6 billion of irregular expenditure. And the intervention team managed to investigate 1 billion of that 1.6 billion. That is why then now we have some consequence management going. We have registered actually in the world cases as well. Now with the remaining 6 billion, because of now the phase out, we have already appointed an accounting firm that is now looking at the remaining, you know, well, in the remaining irregular expenditure. So thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Dr. Mosala. You are a BBT product, born before technology product. We only saw a bit of your face and your hands. We didn't see your face at all. But nevertheless, thank you very much. Honorable Njimo Sekga, over to you.
Honorable Chair, there is a Mr. Mpanza's hand is up. Thank you, before Minister.
Miss Basbu, Honorable Mr. Mpanza, do you want to speak? I thought you had your bite.
No, thanks, Chair. Yes, Chair, sorry. Yes, I did have my bite, but there are two issues, Chair, that have been asked and we did not respond to in order for us to deal with the two. The first one was around this contract of AgriDelight and the issue of the cows. And what we have done, Chair, is that I want to say that the Hawks are busy dealing with this investigation, and as a committee, will be dealing with all the law enforcement agencies. They will give an update of where this is, so that update will give the committee an indication of the work done on that particular contract of AgriDelight and all related matters there. The second one that I thought let me also deal with is the one that Deputy Minister Babela has already spoken about, of the PPE findings. What we are going to do, Chair, with the SIU report, we will give a specific answer, especially within the municipalities, what the findings were, as well as in the departments where there were findings. So those two reports are available, Chair, which will be shared with the committee before you engage with the law enforcement agency. Thank you very much, Chair.
All right, thank you very much. There's no other hand. Honorable Engineer Sekga, do you want to add or are you okay?
No, I'm fine, Chair. Just perhaps to add to what Dr. Mosala had mentioned, that because there was a question to say, why are we only appointing an audit firm to deal with unauthorized expenditure? The report stated that outstanding, so it means that there's been work happening in that area. So it's not like we're starting from scratch. And in terms of performance, it shouldn't be surprising to anybody. Northwest is one of the best performing provinces academically. They have a very strong, they're very strong districts, so that they are able to hold their own when it comes to curriculum matters. And that's why they're able to easily turn around difficulties when it confronts them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mindy. I would have loved to see you on video. Yesterday, I saw yesterday you were on top of dealing with the opening of schools. Nevertheless, thank you very much. Who else want to say something? Are we all okay? I see Minister Dlodlo Ayanda. Are you okay? And who else? If you are covered, it's fine. And Minister Toko Didiza, are you also covered?
Yes, I'm covered, Chair.
Thank you very much. Minister Toko Didiza, Minister Dlodlo, are you good? She seemed not to be there. Okay, thank you very much. Over
and
to
Minister Mamuloko Gubani.
Oh, yes, how do I forget that she was going to kill me when we meet? Sister Mamuloko. Sister Mamuloko.
No, I'm fine, Chair.
Over to you, please.
Yes, Chair. In our area, there isn't much I need to add, nor are the questions that thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much, Minister Kensani. Over to you, Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, to round up.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will just switch off my video. You can see I'm not a spook. It's just because of the storm here.
No, it's okay.
I'll just take some of the remaining issues. I think the issue of the slow progress in the cases, even though capacity has improved, I think that question could stand over for the law enforcement team when they come before you. But what they say is that these economic cases are complex, so they are not easy to resolve. But I think they speak for themselves. And then on the question of what do we look at to say that the intervention has done its work and can move out. Of course, it's not only the financial management and audit that we look at, but it's an important component of what we look at. We also look at the capacity. That's why we're looking at ensuring that the critical posts are filled before we leave, and I'll come back to that. And also we look at stability, social stability, because we should also recall why we went there. And therefore, it's important to leave that place when there is stability. And also systems, because we need to ensure that we put the systems in place for the things that were going wrong, so that there is sustainability. Because if you leave before you've been able to fill the important vacant posts and able to hand over properly, so that there is just continuity and sustainability, but also that the systems are in place for the audit, for instance, to make sure that all those are in place before we leave. And then the question that was asked, I think, by the chair, that we mentioned that there is hostility to the intervention, but we don't say
what you are doing about it. What we have tried to do is to meet with the first with the executive to make sure that the executive understands and also is not part of the hostility. We've also met with the political leadership because we have to make sure that the political leadership is able to understand why the intervention has to continue. And also, those are some of the things that we are doing and we'll continue interacting so that that hostility decreases. It's actually better than it was at some stage. And then in terms of the cost of the intervention, I think it's difficult to quantify it now. Maybe in the closeout report, there will be quantification. But also, I think you're going to be meeting with Treasury, so maybe they can also give an indication. But let me also say, when we look at the cost of the intervention, we should look at it in relation to what would have been the cost if we hadn't intervened. Because there was instability, things were being banned. There were strikes, workers were not going to work, hospitals and patients were suffering. So when we look at the amount of money, we must look at also what would have been the cost had there not been an intervention. I think all the other questions have been answered, Honorable Chair. I think I want to leave it at that unless there are other follow-up questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair of the IMTT, for your responses. And once more, thank you very much for your entire team for responding to us. I think the overarching message emerging from the members of the committee is that given the fact that there are a lot of outstanding issues that the IMTT has got to deal with, we welcome the extension until June when you will be reviewing it as national government in relation to the progress that you would have registered in this particular instance. I think that movie, but at the same time, find a way of dealing with all these other outstanding issues or the impediments towards the delivery of your mandate. As I indicated from the beginning, this is the beginning of the process of engaging with different stakeholders. And what you are doing, Honorable Minister, was to give us an overarching presentation that deals with mainly cost-cutting issues, but of course with the different departments. We are going to go to the bulk and nuts of this intervention when we deal with specific sectors and institutions, and including the fact that we will be visiting the provinces from the 1st of March until the 6th of March. We will be dealing with those particular issues in that sense. Parliament has given us a mandate until the 26th of March. In the light of the fact that the intervention has been extended until at least June, when you will be reviewing, we will have to go back to Parliament as a committee to say a mandate has been extended. What about the work of the ad hoc committee? Because in terms of the constitution, the NCOP need to continue to review and assess the intervention until its completion. And based on that, we'll place a recommendation after our discussion as a committee to the House and say, we propose in the light of the extension, what do we do? But I think generally the input was very good. The contribution was solid. The presentation was very clear. And I think it has empowered us more and better in terms of understanding the dynamics and the challenges that the province is facing and the kind of work that the IMTT is doing to stabilize the situation. And we really welcome that. And this is part of the ongoing interaction. I'm not sure what is going to happen after engagement with the province, and we are going to sincerely implore your availability if it is necessary, that after our province, if there would be other outstanding issues that need follow-up, please, Honourable Chair, avail yourself. We'll greatly appreciate that if we can have that interaction, so that whatever that we present to Parliament is quite comprehensive, is detailed, and it answers exactly what is it that needs to be done from an oversight point of view, from the Parliament point of view in terms of improving the situation in the Northwest. Other than that, thank you very much. We come to the end of the meeting and the interaction. And thank you very much, all of you, the team led by the chair of the IMTT, Honourable Minister Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, and the other ministers, deputy ministers, and your team for sharing this information with us. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. And thank you to the IMTT team. Thank you.
Thank you.
SMS.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think we can exit. Oh, I'm going to talk to you.